Take your Bible, if you would, please. Find, if you would, the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14 will be our text today. If you don't have a Bible, should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. Feel free to use that Bible, open it up, and maybe somebody beside you would share their Bible if you don't have one. But Matthew chapter 14 will be our text, and we are going to be in Matthew chapter 14, in our text today, verses 22 to verses 33, for the next five messages that I will preach this morning, tonight, next Sunday morning. I don't preach the following Sunday night because one of our young men, Brother Josh Yachter, who's here, is going to preach before he goes back to Bob Jones. And then two messages on the last Sunday of the month from this passage. And God has laid on my heart while you're finding Matthew chapter 14. Thank you for letting my dad preach to you last week. And thank you for receiving him. And I know he enjoyed it. I'm sure you've told that Meals on Wheels joke to everybody you know. And he preached great. It's funny, I was telling the folks at 8:30, my dad, outside of the pulpit, can't tell a joke to save his life. He'll call me and he'll try to tell me a joke. Say, Tom, I got to tell you this. And then he's one of those guys that starts it and says, wait a minute, that's not how it goes. Let me go back and start. Well, you done ruined the joke right there, right? And in the process of that, he'll give me the punchline. Then he has to catch up to the punchline. But when he stands behind the pulpit, it's like the thing comes out inspired by God or something. I don't know. So I called my dad. I said, so Dad, how'd it go? And Dad said, well, son, he says, I was leaving the building. One man said, it's about time we heard some good preaching around here. Thank you, Dad. Appreciate that. And I went to lunch on Friday with a guy, and he said, hey, there's some rumblings in the church I need to tell you about. I said, oh, brother, what are they? He said, we're trying to figure out how we can trade you for your dad. I said, brother, who's buying this lunch? He said, I am. I said, I'll have the filet mignon. So, thank you. And thank you for coming up with me Sunday night. I mean, we had a wonderful service Sunday night up at Coconut Creek and had a tremendous crowd. What a joy, what a blessing. All right, Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. The Bible says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. I don't know if you ever had that experience of setting yourself apart from everybody to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, we learned last Sunday night that that's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. In the fourth night, or the watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, it's a ghost, man. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. I love it when Jesus tells me not to be afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. You're out of your mind, Peter. Verse 29, and he said, say that word if you would. Come. One word. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. You know, I think when we get to heaven, most preachers are going to owe Peter a tremendous apology. And we're going to owe Peter a tremendous apology for the way that we preached about Peter while he was on the earth. Because we have a tendency to do nothing but point out Peter's failures and his ineptness and his impulsiveness. And we know from a little bit further here in the scripture that he takes his eyes off of the Lord Jesus, if you know your Bible story, and he begins to sink, and the Lord has to reach out and grab him. And you know, even Jesus says to Peter in verse number 31 there, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And even though Jesus has to say all of these things, and Peter is still impulsive, and you could use the words reckless. You could use a lot of words to describe Peter in this case. An accident waiting to happen, as you know his life, seldom in the right place, seldom doing the right thing, all of these mistakes that he had. But Peter can say something that none of us in this room can say. He walked on the water. He walked on water. No other mortal man has walked on water. So think about this with me. If I stood up here and preached you a message about Peter and his little faith, I would have to say that in his little faith, he walked on the water. What does that say about my faith? My faith, I've never physically walked on the water. And really and truthfully, as much as we like to kind of put Peter in a place that sometimes makes us feel better about ourselves, and sometimes he makes the butt of a lot of spiritual jokes, and he makes the points of a lot of sermons that are how or what not to do, and all of his fumbling and all of his bumbling and all of his mistakes, Peter still walked on the water. And I don't know about you, but as I read this, I have a hard time not being confronted with this unavoidable challenge in my life to walk on the water. And so I want to preach to you a series that God has laid on my heart. And I want to take the physical act of Peter walking on the water, and I want to make some spiritual application in our lives. This is not a message series that is necessarily safe for you. The reason that you need tonight's message is a lot of people have hurt themselves spiritually with what I'm about to preach to you this morning. And you're going to need Sunday night's message because there's some things you're going to need to know as we launch out to walk on the water so that we don't hurt ourselves. Much of that would be presumption on our part. Much of that would be putting God in a position of presumption. And yet, although the message is not safe per se in our spiritual walk, it is vibrant, it is necessary, and it is needed as we look at this opportunity to spiritually walk on the water. And I say spiritually because I'm not trying to inspire you to go get on the Jungle Queen today and go out in the ocean and try to walk on water. If you do that, you will be shark bait, right? When I'm talking about walking on the water spiritually, I'm talking about the adventurous Christian life. When I talk to you in a moment about walking on the water, I'm talking about this spiritual opportunity that we have to follow the Lord as He calls us. I'm talking about a moment in your life where you step out by faith only on the Word of God. And if God doesn't hold you up, you're going down. If putting your place in a, you're putting your life in a position where you're out there and you're vulnerable, and if Jesus does not come through, you're sunk. I'm talking about a refusal of the status quo of our lives. I'm talking about the receiving of the Word of God, God's plan for my life. Listen, everybody in this room, God has a plan, an individual plan for your life. It begins with the salvation, being born again, and then He has an individual plan that He calls you to serve Him. I'm talking about a revival of faith in our lives that enables us to go forward. The Christ-centered life, sometimes you hear it called. The Spirit-filled life. The God-anointed life. I'm talking about a walk of faith. And so I have entitled our series, Let's Go for a Walk. I think I got that title as the Holy Spirit enabled me, but also Holy Beverly enabled me. Because my wife does not believe that she can go to bed at night if she hasn't walked at least 1 mile a day. She does not like to walk alone. She likes for her husband to walk with her. So often I hear her say, let's go for a walk. Now, lest I be stripped of the power of God this morning, I cannot say that I go every day. If Beverly was in this room, she would say amen. But I'm good for once a month. And I think that does wonderful for my health. Peter did something no other mere mortal man did. Peter did something that those other disciples in the boat didn't do. Here's what I'm finding. I am finding that creeping into Christianity, creeping into church life, creeping into certain things about our understanding of what it is to walk with the Lord has crept in monotony and sameness and routine. And I'm really finding that Christian people are living their lives bored out of their mind, living their lives with a safe approach to serving the Lord, living their lives without stepping out on faith, without doing anything that would be miraculous. And there's this longing in our hearts to get rid of this monotony and boredom, and that there must be more to Christianity than going to church. And I got news for you. Church can be boring. It's okay. You can say amen. Pastor Hunter can be boring. I'll take it. Singing in the choir can be boring. Routine gets boring. But what God's people don't understand is there is a much difference between church life and the Christ life. And our churches are filled with a church life mentality where there's never this stepping out of the boat of sameness or routine or monotonous, and we're not seeing the miraculous power of God unfold in our ways because we're sitting in these little boats of commonality and sameness, and we're bored and we're never undergoing anything for the Lord. And so we've lost in some ways the thrill of walking on the water. And Peter had this wonderful experience as he was following the Lord and walking on the water. And my goal as the pastor is I'm after you for 5 messages to get you out of the boat of routine and sameness and monotony. Because I believe that within the heart of God's people, as the Spirit of God lives within us, there is an adventure. There is a drawing to follow the Lord. I think a lot of people, and I'll touch on some of these points, they live under such guilt because they want to do more for the Lord, but they're scared out of their mind. And we get used to staying in this little boat of security, and we miss out on the great things that God has for us. And therefore, we never get the wonderful privilege to spiritually walk on the water. I got news for you. We serve a living God. Pastor, I don't really want to walk on the water. Pastor, why would I ever want to leave the boat of safety? Why would I ever want to leave the boat of security? Why would I ever want to put myself in a dangerous or vulnerable position? I'm going to answer those questions. There's really and truthfully two very good reasons why we would ever want to walk on the water. Write number one down, and then I'll give you number two. Number one is dissatisfaction with boat life. Dissatisfaction with boat life. For my message series, boat life is mediocrity. Boat life is ordinariness. Boat life is status quo. You're never going to get out of the boat of status quo and monotony and mediocrity and ordinariness until you're dissatisfied with that boat life. So let me ask you a question. Are you satisfied with your spiritual life today? Are you where God would have you today? Are you here today? And you're, Pastor, you're right. I'm looking for something more. There has to be more to the Christian life than just church, although church is important. There has to be more than just, quote unquote, reading my Bible and doing my devotions. I don't feel like I'm doing much. I don't feel like I'm being used. I don't feel like I'm being challenged. I don't feel like I'm being productive in what I'm doing. Pastor, I want to do whatever God wants me to do, I think, but I'm kind of in that boat. You're reading my mind right now. This is me. I love the Lord. He died for me. I understand the cause of Christ. I understand the importance of this. And I want to follow him and do whatever he wants me to do. I think that spirit is alive in all of God's people. But yet somehow we find ourselves in the boat of sameness for a very long time. I'll never get out of the boat unless I get dissatisfied with that life. What would make me to get that dissatisfied with boat life? Well, a couple of things. Write this down. First off, boat life is dull. It's boring. It may be safe. Okay, I'm a Christian, and I go to church, and I tithe, and I sing, and I serve, and I've got my little area where I feel good and safe and serving the Lord. And you can live there your whole life in that boat of safety. And you can live there in your whole life with minimum of trouble. But you'll never know. You'll always have a minimum of triumph in that condition as well. Yeah, but Pastor, if I get out of the boat or I put myself in vulnerability, I may drown. Question for you. Think about it. You know the Bible. Did Peter drown? No, he didn't drown. Did he sink? Mm-hmm. But he didn't drown. There's a reason Peter didn't drown. And it's not because he knew how to swim. Peter didn't drown because who was there? Going down like a rock. You know, I've had some experience with drowning. You know this. People don't drown loud. They drown quiet. Sometimes we picture somebody flailing and all this. That's not really how they drown. When it comes to the moment when you go under the water for the very last time, it's quiet. I had this experience just last week in Wisconsin. I had the responsibility to mentor a missionary, and I noticed on Monday that the missionary had a bad cold in his chest. He couldn't hardly, he's coughing real bad. And they had some free time at the camp, and they had a ski boat out there with an inner tube, and I finally got a place where there was no alligators. So I thought, maybe I'll go down there and get on that thing and ride around a little bit, have a good time, right? So I walked down, and he's literally laying on his back on the dock, trying to kind of catch his breath. And I was watching him. He got off the dock and he walked into the water area and he began to just kind of, you know, just kind of motion like this. And if you just picture a little beach and picture the rope that goes around all the little blue bubbles there, and everybody has a life jacket on but him. And I noticed for a moment that he went under the rope and he came back on the other side where I knew the water was deep. He didn't have a life jacket on. Nobody was really allowed back there, but he did it. And he was headed out to a certain area. When he got to the certain area, there was this big ball that the kids were all playing on, and you would pull yourself up, and then you would rock them and then catapult them off. It was a good time. I didn't do it. It was scary. He got there, and he couldn't get up. And all of a sudden, my spidey sense went off. And if you've ever been around drowning, I hate water. I hate when my kids go to the ocean. I hate going to the ocean. I don't like the rip currents. You have an experience, it just stays with you. All of a sudden, man, my spidey sense goes off. I'm like, God, he's in trouble. God, you got to help him. And I watched him go under, and I watched him come up, and I watched him go under, and it was quiet. And now I'm panicked. You know, I'm starting to run out there. His wife's starting to run. And praise the Lord, there was one man that was there that saw it and reached down and grabbed the guy and brought him up. He's coughing and all that. Or we'd have had a horrific moment at this camp. Most of God's people forget the long, strong arm of Jesus Christ. And the Lord has a plan for us. And he's not cared that the waters are boisterous. He's not caring that the winds and the waves are up. He's God. All of that is under his domain. And Peter is getting ready and he's going down. And Jesus just reaches and grabs him and cares for him and brings him up. When God calls you to step out by faith or to step out on the word of God, it's not so God can drown you. God is there to protect and keep you. Yes, it's safe in the boat as far as not being vulnerable there, but it's dull and it's boring. And life is that way. So many Christians think that they've been bait and switched. You told me, Pastor, that when I got saved, my life would be transformed. You told me when I got saved that there would be this joy and this peace and this happiness. You told me there would be this miraculous power in me. You told me that it would be this life of adventure and moving forward. And really and truthfully, I don't see all of that. Well, I got news for you. That's probably because you don't see what the Lord Jesus can do. We're not stepping out by faith. We're not moving accordingly here. There's nothing dull or boring about the Lord. And then there's the boat life is guilt ridden. And so many Christians, they sit in churches like this one and they heap upon themselves guilt because they know they're not doing anything miraculous and they want to, but they're afraid to get out of the boat. And they want to sing in a choir, but they don't want to. And they want to go. They think God may be calling them to be missionaries, but they don't. And now they just sit there and they take all the guilt upon them. I had a guy come into my office. He said, I'm sick of my mediocre Christian life. Okay, great. Then get out of the boat and follow what God has. Helpless. When you're in the boat, you're just tied to the waves. And just blows us about. There's no control of that. When you're in boat life, you're unproductive. Man was not made to be unproductive. Man is not made to live an unchallenged life. We were built to have dominion. We were built for a spirit of going forward. Man was created to handle pressure. Man was created to be in the image of God. And as we go forward in these things, production is important. And the only way that I'm going to know production is to be challenged. And most Christians feel unproductive and they're unchallenged, but yet God is calling them, but they're not getting out of the boat of their mediocrity or their commonness or their sameness, and there's no power of God that is upon their life. And so the Christian life is just church. We love our church, but your Christian life better be more than church. Your Christian life better be the person Jesus Christ. So they sit in the boat. You're never going to get out of the boat of monotony until you're dissatisfied where you are. Now hear the preacher, because I told you this message could hurt you. Your spiritual dissatisfaction is never God's fault. My spiritual dissatisfaction is never God's fault. Pilate was a fool, but he had one thing right. There's no fault in Jesus. So many people think that their spiritual dissatisfaction is somehow God's fault. It's not. Peter's sinking wasn't God's fault. Peter's sinking was his own fault. And you're never going to get out of that boat of mediocrity and common and sameness to the calling of God until you're dissatisfied where you are. Do something about it. Pastor, I don't know what to do. That's why you come to church. I got a good message for you on that. Second reason you get out of the water or get walk on the water is found in verse number 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go where? To go to Jesus. To go to Jesus. So many Christians want Jesus to meet them in their life. Meet me in my six-figure income. Now, you know what the missionaries make? Tom, come. I want you to be a missionary. Come. No, God, I want you to meet me in my six-figure income. No, God, I want you to meet me in my plan. No, God, I don't want to get out of the boat. It's wavy out there. It's dangerous out there. You come get in the boat with us. Get in my boat. Jesus is not necessarily interested in joining your boat. Jesus wanted Peter to come to him. Tell me you see that. Until your desire to get to Jesus is stronger than your desire to stay in the boat, you're never going to get out. Here's what you need to know. Jesus is where the action is. Jesus is where it is happening. Jesus is where lives are being transformed. Jesus is where the deaf are being made to hear, the blind are made to see. Jesus is where all of the power and the working of God is. And he has an individual plan for our lives. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. Come on, Peter. Can you imagine what those 11 disciples were saying to Peter? Peter, you're stupid, man. Peter, you're gonna drown, bud. You're an idiot. But his desire to get to Jesus was greater than his desire to stay in his boat. Now, let's close. Let's talk. Do we love the Lord? Yes or no? Yes. And we believe God has planned for our lives. An individual plan for my life. And I do believe that God is still calling us to join him in his work. He's not interested in joining you in your plan. He's interested in you joining him in his plan. Scary? Yeah. Terrifying? Yeah. Safe? Not totally. Not totally. Better be right? Absolutely. Stepping out of the boat and onto the water. Now let me show you something that most people don't understand. Physically, you can say that Peter walked on the water. But when you come to verse number 28, understand what he walked on. Look, if you would, please. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come on the water. In verse 29, and he said what? Come. Peter didn't just walk on the water. He walked on the word of God. So when God comes to you and says, this is my plan, this is what I want you to do, this is where I want you to come and join me and meet me, and you have the Word of God, it is the unfailing, eternally true Word of God. And you can walk on it. Now, where people get themselves in trouble is they try to presume, they just try to step out of the boat and make God do something. No. God gives you His Word, and that Word ought to stir enough confidence in you and faith in you to step out of the boat of your monotony and of your sameness. So I'm your pastor. My job is to preach to you. My job is to get you to see what God has for you. So here's my question. Are you bored with where you are spiritually? Are you stinking sitting in that boat? It's rocking. You started when you were 30, now you're 50. You're dissatisfied. You're all these things. But you haven't taken a step out of the boat. I'm scared, Pastor. Understand. I'm not sure. Understand. But if Jesus is there calling you, we can trust Him. So here's what's happened. You think Peter had a story to tell? I think Peter would tell his story. I think he had somebody that would say, yeah, but you ended up sinking. Jesus had to save your blessed assurance. But at least he could say, I walked on the water. Outside of your salvation, can you think of another miraculous moving in your life where you got to the point where the only security you had was Jesus Himself? And if He didn't come through, you were sunk. Pastor, I don't know that I can think of that. Maybe you ought to consider getting out of the boat and responding to the call of God. Respond by faith and walk a little on the water. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.